We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week, we remembered the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, of Jesus into Jerusalem. And this week, we remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're actually going to start looking at a series of lessons that we are taught in the book of Hebrews, where we see that Jesus is better. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets and the lawgiver Moses. He's better than the Sabbath. He's better than the priesthood. He's better than the Old Covenant and also the Old Testament sacrifices. In fact, those, we are told from Hebrews, were a type and a shadow of what was to come and what Jesus would fulfill for us. In fact, we will actually begin looking at this, and we will probably just take this series up in subsequent years, depending on how far we get today. But we'll start out in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to us in times past by the prophets. And this is the way we see the beginning of this passage, this chapter, this actual book of the Bible, that God, who in various times and in various ways spoke to us in times past by the prophets. So God spoke in times past through the prophets. We know from the Bible that God also spoke through the Psalms and through many other ways. In fact, even the law of God speaks to us. And yet, in verse 2, has in these last times, last days, spoken to us by his Son. So in the past, God spoke to us through the prophets, and who were foretelling. Now, not only were they calling the people to repent and the people to believe in God's word and obey his commandments, but they also very often were foretelling who would come, Jesus Christ, that would come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. In fact, you can even read in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah himself foretelling about Jesus and the sufferings that would come. And even in the early part of Isaiah, we see the foretelling of Jesus coming as a babe. But here in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. So God sent his only Son to come into the earth to not only to live as a babe and be born as a babe in a manger, but to grow up learning fear and submission to his parents, but also to live a life of, give us an example of how we should live, and also to ultimately to shed his own blood on the cross so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. So he has come and spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he has appointed as heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So this is he who we see who is the heir of all things. Just like if you are a son, perhaps even a daughter of someone, and typically if that person has goods, has means, when they pass away, you will very likely be an heir or a partial heir of those possessions. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He's the heir not only of the earth and of the world, but he is the heir of all human beings as well. He is the one who will ascend to the throne and rule and reign forever and ever and ever, through whom also he made the worlds. And this is where you can look in John chapter 1, and you can see that in him was and through him all things were made. He was the Word that God spoke. When God spoke forth the Word and the world came into existence, when God spoke forth the Word, that Word was Jesus. And it was through him and with him and by him that all things actually exist. In verse 3, who being the brightness of all his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who being the brightness of his glory. So Jesus Christ was the brightness and still is the brightness of the glory of God. And one thing that you see in the Bible, when human beings came into contact with even angels, but especially when they came in contact with God himself, they didn't look directly at God, but still there was a brightness, so much so that when Moses spent time with God, he had to actually put a veil over his face because his face shone and the people were scared. Just spending a few minutes or a few days in the presence of God, his face actually shone so that the people were scared to look upon him because Moses was reflecting the glory that is God's, and Jesus is actually the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And this again in John chapter 1, Jesus was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. And he was the word that was actually spoken. And we see here, in upholding all things through the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. So Jesus Christ purged our sins. One of the things as we get further into Hebrews, one of the things that we will see is that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats and sheep to purge the sins of the people. In fact, it was only a temporary covering until Jesus Christ, his blood could be shed, and he was actually sacrificed. His blood was shed on the cross, and then he actually went into heaven and poured out his blood. We'll read about that later on as we get further into Hebrews. But he poured out his blood on the Holy of Holies, the altar in heaven, to provide forgiveness for our sins. He purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Why did he sit down? Because his work is finished. As Jesus said when he was on the cross, it is finished. He came and he did what he was called to do. And at the time where really Satan said, wow, this is great, I'm putting to death God's own son. Little did he know that it was finished, that was actually the work of God, that was actually God's plan and what was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. It is finished. He finished the work of God and sat down at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, of God Almighty, because his work was finished. He did what he came to do. He saved a multitude by his blood. In verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. One of the things that you see, as I mentioned earlier, even when people came in contact with an angel in the Old Testament, they were fearful. Oh, what will happen? My life is in danger. My life is at risk because I have seen an angel of the Lord. And sometimes they would actually logically deduce, well, would God have come and revealed this to us if he wanted to kill us? No, they realized that God had a message for them and that they were honored, but they still were afraid because they had come in contact with an angel. And yet Jesus has become much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5, for to which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. So Jesus definitely was a creature, but he was a part of the Godhead. You know, there are some religions that don't believe that Jesus is God. And in fact, some religions believe that he was a God. In fact, if you look at that passage in John chapter 1 and you read that passage in the Bible that was translated for the Jehovah's Witness by people, by the way, that didn't know Greek, which the New Testament was written in, the translators of the Jehovah's Witness Bible didn't actually know the language that the Bible was translated, but they translated it that Jesus was a God. And there are some religions, the Mormons believe that you can become a God. But Jesus, and that's by the way rubbish, Jesus is God himself. He is not only the Son of God, but he is a part of the Godhead. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit, the three of them are one. He is in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. And he was his Son. He was begotten here on this earth, but he always has existed. And he says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And then in verse 6, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So God is here again comparing Jesus to the angels. And when Jesus came into this earth, we know that the angels did worship him. And we see, and the shepherds witness the angels worshiping God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." And this is what we see, Jesus being compared to the angels. And verse 7, "And of the angels," he says, "who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." And you can read about this, by the way, in Psalm chapter 104, verse 4. This is where this is quoting from, Psalm 104, verse 4. "But the angels are spirits, and they are his ministers, a flame of fire. But Jesus of the Son," he says in verse 8, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a serpent or a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." And that is from Psalm 45, verses 6 through 7. "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Your throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And this is really what we see here. The angels were ministers of a flame of fire, but Jesus Christ is a scepter of righteousness. He is the scepter of his kingdom. You see, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Certainly, angels are great, but Jesus is greater than angels even. He is, in fact, God himself, and he is the ruler of this earth. In verse 9, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." And here we see that God, Jesus, "you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." And this is really something that many people today don't understand about God and about Jesus. As people often know about God's love, and God is love. But God not only is love, God is also righteous. And because he is righteous, he hates lawlessness. And because he hates lawlessness, God is a God of wrath that pours out his wrath upon the wicked. Yet, on the cross, God poured out his wrath upon his Son Jesus, so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven if we believe that he is the Son of God, if we confess him with our mouth, and if we repent of our sins and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our sins. He loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So here he is set apart from the other celestial bodies, the angels. He is given the oil. He is anointed with the oil of gladness more than his companions. In verse 10, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." So when we look at this world, God is the one that laid its foundations. He is the one that laid the preparation work for the world to begin and actually spoke the word into world, into existence. Again, Jesus was that word that was spoken forth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. So when we look into the heavens and we see the stars in the heavens, when we see the moon and the sun, these are works. And when we see the other planets, and many of these, we can only faintly see with our eyes. But as we have learned technology, we've been able to develop various telescopes, some of which are very big and very powerful, where we can look long distances and see the works of God in the heavens. These are the works of his hands. Here's the cool thing, though. Verse 11, they will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. So as magnificent as the world is, as great as this world is, and as beautiful as this creation is, and the stars of the heavens and the celestial bodies that we see out there, these are so great, and yet they will grow old like a garment, and God will take them and fold them up and discard them. But God remains the same. He doesn't change. His years will not fail. He is more enduring than even the world, because he is the creator of the world. You know, there are a lot of people today that are fearful of what will happen to this earth. The Bible here says that there will come a time that God will fold up the earth and the heavens like a garment and discard them, and yet God will remain the same. He does not fail. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Again, going back, Jesus Christ finished the work on the cross, was raised from the dead, went into heaven, sacrificed, poured out his blood on the altar, and came back down to earth for a short period of time before he ascended up to the Father, and then sat down at the right hand of the Father because his work was finished. And by the way, he's not there until he comes back to rescue his pathetic church who is incapable of carrying out his commandments to disciple the nations. He is actually sitting there until his enemies become his footstool. And that happens, God working through his church. We are to be working to see his kingdom come here on this earth, and praying to see his kingdom come here on this earth, his will being done here on this earth as it is in heaven. In verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So the angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And that's interesting, the phrase there, who will inherit. Because, you see, God knows not only who has inherited salvation, God also knows who will inherit salvation. And so it is important for us to realize that there are people today that haven't believed, that haven't come to repent of their sins, that haven't believed and trusted in God to save them yet they will in the future. And God is ready to call them into obedience to His commandments and to call them to be His people. And we need to realize that this is what God's plan, to actually call His people into His kingdom, to be servants of His. And we need to realize that when we come in contact, and there are even people listening today who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to call you and ask you to believe in the work that He has done. God Himself humbled Himself, emptied Himself, and came to this earth to live on this earth, to be a human being, fully God, fully human, but He definitely was humbling Himself to live in the circumstances that He lived in, even coming lowly, being born in a manger, and like donkeys or calves or sheep would be born, and yet He came here to die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven, so that the debt that was rightly due you could be forgiven. And moreover, there are people that aren't even born yet that God will call into His kingdom, and God will call into His family to be a part of His children. Repent of your sins today. Realize that you have sinned, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and accept the gift that God has given you by sending His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Lost and could not see, but You did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world You made, and on the cross of Calvary You gave Your life to set me free. Forever I will sing Your name, hands are heart full of praise. The King of glory once enthroned was laid to rest behind the stone. but death would not have final say. Jesus.